Turn to the Epistle to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 2, set your affections or your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The book of Exodus. The first chapter of the book of Exodus. Rather, it's chapter 2, verse 1, and there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child or fair to God, she hid him 3 months. Book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 34. Verse 1, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land. Verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him. Book of Kings. The 17th chapter of the first book of Kings. Verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and come eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens there to feed thee. Verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. The second book of Kings, the second book of Kings, chapter 2. Verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Matthew 17. Verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And finally, in John's epistle, John's first epistle, chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I trust the Lord will help me tonight just to say a few words about those scriptures that we have had before us this week. The scripture that we read yesterday, we were thinking about the fact that our affections are to be set on things above and not on the things of the earth. In a comment in the Bible reading, we refer to the two in the Old Testament. One was Lot. Sodom has been mentioned tonight. One was Lot, who had his affections set on the things of the earth. When Lot was given the opportunity to choose whatever he wanted, he chose the plains of the city. He looked down on Sodom, he saw all that was going to be profitable for him in this world. And of course, the question has been asked, and they recited about the brother who said, Which world are we living for? Lot had this world before him. He saw the cattle down there grazing on that grass. What a prosperous place it was going to be. Because it wasn't the place to bring up his family. And another thing, he didn't realize that Sodom was about to come under the judgment of God. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Shall I hide anything from Abraham, my friend? And it was revealed to Abraham that Sodom and Gomorrah was to come under judgment. Beloved brethren, you and I know that this world is a condemned scene. The judgment of God is about to be unleashed upon it in such fury. Thank God, the epistle to the Thessalonians 1 tells us that we've been delivered from coming wrath. It's not a place to be desired. May God give us grace and energy not to have our affections here, but to have them on another world. Abraham, God says, now Abraham, he says, you lift up your eyes. Look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. He says, it's all yours. It's all yours. Oh, beloved, doesn't this verse come before us in power tonight? Set your affections on things above. What are the things that are above? That was the question asked in the Bible reading. What are the things that are above? Oh, we think of the Father's house. We think of that scene into which we are shortly going to be called. We are going to be with him. Things that are linked up with our Lord Jesus, because he's gone above. And you know, it's wonderful. It's a tremendous desire, although feebly in men of our hearts, to have our hearts set upon those things which are above. And you know, if our hearts are set on those things, it will come out in our walk, it will come out in our talk, it will come out in our everyday living, if we are having our hearts and affections set on those things which are above. But my mind was turned to this next verse. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The two men that I've read about in the Old Testament were men who had a hidden life. Moses, the first thing it says about him in the book of Exodus, it says that his mother, she saw that he was a child that was fair unto God. What did she do? She hid him. Moses began his life a hidden person. It's a great exercise for young people, especially with young children. That child was under the care of the mother for 3 months. And then there was that little ark prepared. And into that little ark the child was placed, in the flags by the river, not in the full current. There stood his sister. And in the providence of God, in God's ways, Pharaoh's daughter comes down. She sees the basket. It's opened. And the child cries. God knows how to touch the heart of a woman. His sister says, shall I bring an ass of the Hebrews? Fair thing to do, bring an ass. And he goes, she goes, and she brings along his mother. Moses was brought up in the tender care of a godly mother. Oh, dear young people here today, what an opportunity you have. Serving the Lord, there's not a finer place to serve the Lord than in the family circle, with the children beside you, on your knee. Wonderful opportunity. What a harvest field there is. He was brought up. But then, Moses was taken to the Egypt to learn the wisdom of Egypt. He could have had all that he desired for the flesh. We've been speaking of Egypt as a place of the world. Moses had his hand on the very grip of everything he wanted. What did he do? The time came in Moses' life when he chose rather to suffer affliction along with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, the world has nothing new to give. Plenty pleasures, but they're only for a season. And so, as we know very well, that Moses' life is covered by 3 40s. 40 years in the palace, learning to be something, and God used that something in the writing of the Pentateuch. The knowledge that he acquired, God used it. No one would ever decry knowledge. But then, he had to have another episode when his life was to be hidden. He had to go to the backside of the desert. If Egypt's knowledge and wisdom was needful, it was absolutely necessary that he was there at the backside of the desert in the school of God. And you know, before God can work with any servant, there has to be time spent in his presence. Remarkable, isn't it, in our blessed Lord Jesus? 30 years of age before he comes out into public ministry. And then for those 3.5 years, the wonderful exhibit of what we were reading of today, the kindness, the mercies, all seen in that blessed man here below. But oh, those 30 years, seen only to the eye of God, hidden life, we might say. Moses, he had a hidden life at the backside of the desert. But God was preparing the servant. God was fitting a vessel for to be used in his testimony. You know, in every one of us, there has to be that time. Quietness, alone with the Lord. We've got to have a hidden life with the Lord. How does that affect you and me, dear brother and sister? How much time do you and I spend in the scriptures? How much time do we spend in the quietness of the Lord's presence? I'm always affected by that hymn that says, take time to be holy. Take time. Not something that can be bought. It's something that has to be learnt. And it can only be learnt in the presence of God. But Moses, the time at the backside of the desert was over. He comes out to lead the people of God. Both those men that we've read of today, tonight, they come forward at a time of difficulty. What a job Moses had. You think we've got problems? Moses had some difficulties in his life. But you know, Moses served the Lord faithfully. And Moses had that hidden life. And he was a man who was always in the presence of God. He was taken up into the mountain. And there for 40 days and 40 nights, he's up there alone with God. What does the people say below? We don't know what's happened to him. That's what the people say about us, isn't it? We were talking about this week. We read it in the epistle to John. Therefore the world knoweth us not. What takes them along to the hall every day? What takes them to those conferences? It's because we've got a hidden life. And a life that can only be sustained in the presence of God and in the company of the Lord's people. And so Moses, he's up there in the mountain. He's alone with God. Doesn't tell us he ate anything. Doesn't tell us he drank anything. But what it tells us is that when he came down, he wist not that the skin of his face shone. Oh, the presence of God has a marked effect upon any servant of the Lord and upon any brother or sister that wants to take time to enter into the Lord's presence. It was quoted this afternoon from Acts 4. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Well, Moses comes down from the mount. He's got his servant there. Joshua, he says, I hear the noise of singing down there, dancing. He said, rather, he heard the noise of war. Oh, when he came down, what a sight it was, worshipping the golden calf. Moses' words echoed out, who is on the Lord's side? Well, he moved on. His life began hidden. During his life, he was hidden in God's presence many a time. And when it came to the end of his life, a remarkable thing. God says to him, now Moses, your time's over, your service is done. He wasn't allowed to go into the land because of failure. But God says to him, you come up to the top of the mountain. And he says, he showed him all the land. He's seen all the land. And it says that remarkable thing. It says, and God buried him. Sometimes when speaking on these subjects, we often speak about Moses as being a type of the saints that die in Christ, fall asleep in Jesus. Elijah presents the other side. But Moses, God buried him. You ever thought, dear brother, that every time you stand round the grave of a saint of God, God knows exactly where that body lies? No one knows the sepulchre of Moses, Scripture tells us. But God knows. And every dear saint of God passes through the article of death, God knows where that body lies, precious in the sight of God. Elijah lived in difficult days. If Moses lived in difficult days serving a rebellious people, a stiff-necked people, Elijah lived in the days of apostasy. The darkest day in the history of Israel. And Elijah suddenly comes on the scene. And the first thing that God says to his servant, he says, now, Elijah, the Tishbite, he says, I want you to turn these words and I want you to hide yourself. Was he a coward? Not a bit of it. God had to learn his servant some definite and deep lessons before ever he could be used. Firstly, he had to hide himself. And if you and I are going to be any use for Lord in service here, that's something we've got to learn quickly. We've got to learn to hide ourselves. Not I, but Christ, who sometimes sing, be honoured, loved, exalted. Keeping ourselves out of sight. Whether it's in gospel service or the ministry of the word, hide thyself. There he was up there in that cave. I like to picture this. He says, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Imagine it, the ravens. Might have been easier for God, he's the creator. We've already been thinking about this week. You could have said, well, I'll send one of those 7,000 that hasn't bowed the knee. I'll send one of them to feed you. No, God didn't say that. He might have been able to follow them, follow their tracks. God says, I'll get the ravens to feed you. You ever tried to follow a raven? The raven would get that bread and flesh. Away it went, up to the heavens, across the trees, over the mountains. The eye of man couldn't track it. But God sustained the servant. Beloved, isn't it true today that you and I are sustained in our spiritual pathways by a higher hand? He opens his hand and he feeds every living thing. And you and I, as the saints of God, the life that we have can only be stained by the one who gave it. Can only be sustained by the Lord himself in the power of the Spirit. So Elijah, there he is. His first lesson is to learn to hide himself, and then he's given food. And we all need food, spiritual food. We've been getting some of that this week. Bread and flesh. He meets the prophet, Obadiah, not the one that wrote the book. But he meets the prophet, and the prophet says, well, he says, I've done a great thing, you know. He says, what have you done? He says, I've hid 100 prophets, 50 by 50, in a cave. And he said, I fed them on bread and water. Elijah says, I've been getting bread and flesh. He had something special from the hand of the Lord. And I believe it's only in the secret of the Lord's presence that we get those royal dainties, those things that are special. Well, Elijah is a wonderful life, wonderful prophet. But the time comes when his day is about over. And so there he is with Elisha. And Elisha says, he was so much taken up with this man, Elijah. He says, I want a double portion of your spirit. Oh, Elijah says, that's a hard thing to give. And he says, I'll tell you. He says, if you see me when I'm going up. He knew he was going up. Moses was buried. But Elijah was going up. Brethren, it might not be long before we're going up. The coming of the Lord is true. There's Elijah. Elisha says, well, he says, I'm not going to leave you. And he followed him from place to place to place. And the moment came when he went up. A chariot of fire, horses of fire. He was parted asunder. And he went up into heaven. Is that the end of them? Was that the end of Moses? Was it the end of Elijah? Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him. Matthew 17. Who's in the glory with the Lord? He taketh Peter, James, and John into that high mountain apart. He's transfigured before them. His face shines as the sun, shining in its strength. Picture of the world to come. A little glimpse of the kingdom. The glories that shall shine out in that wonderful day. That face that was once marred more than any man's, radiating the glory of God, seen in all its brilliance. And there appeared with him Moses and Elias. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him. Oh, brethren, whether we pass through the article of death, or whether we are caught up to heaven when the Lord comes, be sure of this, we are going to appear with him. Glory. And that will be wonderful, you know. When God begins a work, it's been quoted already today in prayer, he which hath begun a good work in you shall complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, they appeared with him in glory. I always think of the contrast in that scripture. His face shone. At the cross, his face was marred more than any man's. His garments were white, glistening. At the cross, he gambled over his garments. On the mountain, there were two of the greatest of the Old Testament saints, Moses and Elias. At the cross, there were two thieves and robbers. At the cross, the Father's voice, the voice of God, wasn't heard. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But on the mountain, the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And you know, beloved brethren, that day is coming when you and I, when we'll appear with him in glory, that life that we have now in Christ, that life that can only be sustained now by the Spirit of God, that life someday is going to be seen in all its fullness in that coming day. And we're going to appear with him in glory. Oh, the question is today, where are we living? What world are we living for? I read a wee story just shortly there about an old cobbler. He earned a few coppers. He had a little shop there. And he had a little flat above. And some of the people were quite concerned about him because he was always just doing away a wee bit here and a wee bit there. And somebody says to him, how are you getting on? Oh, he says, I'm all right. He says, I just work down here, he says, but I live up there. You know, brother, if we had the reality of that in our lives, that we're just living down here, working down here, but we're living up there. What a difference it would make. Beloved, now are we the children of God? Now. We're brought into this wonderful relationship now. Not waiting till then. We've got it now. We're in the full enjoyment of the knowledge of the Father. The full revelation has been made. The Father's love, the source of all, sweeter than all it gives, shines on us now without recall. Last while Jesus lives. We've got the best of heaven now. Now are we the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be.